Tana Tuiono kindly with us today from the Greens, last day of sitting Parliament and then literally out onto the hustings. Thanks for joining us, Tana. Tēnā koe, man. Not quite. He's with us now. There's Tana. Tēnā koe. I haven't seen your latest TikTok revelation, Tana.
Oh, yeah, no, I've got to get back on there, mate. The Parliament, they don't let you have TikTok on your phone, so I'm out of action.
Oh, well, it doesn't apply to Shane because he's not in the big house yet. He hopes to be one day. Hey, thanks for joining us, Tana. Look, Japan started dumping Fukushima waste into the Pacific. They say it's safe. But according to the UN's nuclear watchdog, exposure to the water will have negligible radiological effects on both people and the environment. What do you think?
I think we're also going to look at this in terms of the historical context of nuclear testing in the Pacific. There's the scientific considerations, but there's also the cultural and very real historical considerations. We have to remember there was Moriroa, there's Bikini Atoll, and the amount of times that they said, you know what, this is fine, it's all good, and so on and so forth, and they went ahead and tested nukes anyway. So I think it's not the one. I don't like it. They haven't engaged enough with civil society and with people's movements across the Pacific. I'm all for us to continue to push for a nuclear-free and independent Pacific.
The climate issue doesn't seem to have been prioritised with all of the political parties pitching what they will and won't do. It appears movement on this challenging aspect, not just to New Zealand society, but globally, has been pushed to the background somewhat by political parties keen to get the reins of power. What would you say of that, how this climate change, global warming issue seems to be a sidebar politically for those who want the power to reign?
Well, exactly. That's it, and that's the concern. You know, the island of Maui in Hawaii was on fire. Tropical island was on fire. We have these intensive weather events happening all the time. There's one happening now over in the States, and it's very regular. So we have to do stuff as well. And here's the thing with, for example, with the National Party released their tax plan. Part of that was taking away from climate initiatives. That's how you're going to fund their tax package. It's reckless. Environmentally reckless, and it shows me that they're not serious about taking climate action.
Can you flesh that out a little? So taking money from climate emissions to pay for tax cuts, what's wrong with that idea?
Well, what that money should be used for is investing into, you know, climate mitigation, making sure that we can continue to reduce emissions. That's what it should be used for, and also looking at adaptation as well. It should be used for climate purposes.
And it's not. I'd like to touch, if we can, too, because I know you have a particular interest in the plight of overseas workers who come here and then find themselves, for whatever reason, e-workers, etc., who find themselves in our country, but where it doesn't pan out as they were led to believe it would. Immigration New Zealand's been inspecting Auckland properties, housing jammed with migrants in appalling conditions. What do you make of that?
I think it's disgraceful. I think it's disrespectful to these people who are coming here to work as well. It's not acceptable. If people come here to work, we should treat them with the first respect. One of the things we wish they should be doing is decoupling work visas. We've seen, for example, over in the Hawke's Bay in Napier, when Cyclone Gabrielle came through, wiped out your employer, then what do you do if your visa is just tied to one employer? Or in the other circumstance, like in this case that you're talking about, the employer is abusive or does not look after their workers. So there needs to be stronger pathways for workers when they come here to have their rights recognised and upheld.
Tēnā koe, for you, when you look at Pacifica people and you represent your whakapapa connections strongly in your day-to-day mahi, what do you make of the call, for instance, to disestablish the Ministry of Pacific Peoples? How vital, how important is the 2023 election for Māori and Pacifica peoples' empowerment?
Well, the failure of some elected representatives in this place to recognise the importance of the Ministry of Pacific Peoples and Pacific communities in general is disgraceful. We have to remember that we're actually in the Pacific, and New Zealand likes to go around the Pacific and talking about how we're a part of the family of Pacific nations. And we also have to remember, actually, we've got this treaty of friendship. So, for example, with Samoa, it's been, you know, there for over 60 years, and there's that long-term relationship. And then we've also got the Pacific Islands that are part of the New Zealand realm, like from the Cook Islands, Niue, Tokelau as well. So that's the importance of it. It recognises where we are geographically, history, and our responsibilities with the communities that have whakapapa back to those islands.
Thank you. Recent events, recent polls suggest the Greens are tracking pretty well towards October the 14th. What does it say to you? Because people have been dismissive of the Greens at times, even through this last term, but yet it would seem many New Zealanders are prioritising environmental issues championed by the Greens, thus the the good results in the polls, recent polls anyway. Tana, what does that suggest to you about how many are prioritising Green Party issues and environmental kaupapa?
I think I think the community is liking what they hear. They're liking our policy announcements. So, for example, we had the free dental care policy announcement. People like that. They know that we're going to be a strong voice for the climate, that we are part of that green movement, and we have a parliamentary face of the green movement. And you cannot ignore climate change. It is here, and we've been talking about that as the Greens for decades. And so there's a recognition of that. I think, and that's why our vote is growing.
What do you make of the imbalance in donations? And that literally is reflected by the number of billboards that can be put up. And obviously the Blue Team have had millions pumped into their coffers. The Greens chip away. Labour, Te Pāti Māori, certainly not with the same sort of economic support out in the wider community. And it's David and Goliath when it comes to what monies you've got to spend. How does it affect you personally? Because you step out of MP mode into the campaign mode as of tomorrow. What would you say of the imbalance here with resource for the political fights ahead?
Well, you know, we might not have putea power, but we've got people power, and that's what we have to push in on. We are pushing against the parties that represent the wealthy in this country, the very wealthy in this country. That's the National and the ACT Party, and the only way that we can compete with the massive hordes of finance that their rich friends can give them is by actually mobilising people and people's movements as well. And so that's what we're going to be doing. Hopefully our other mates on the left will be doing the same too.
Tēnā koe. I noticed that India has landed a spacecraft on the south pole of the moon. And, this hope, or this kōrero says, there's hope the West will stop seeing the country as a land of snake charmers and elephants. Well, good on them for sending a unmanned craft to the moon. I don't know how you feel about that and the potential for space junk on Te Marama. What do you think of international efforts to stake their claim to the moon?
All the others have done it, so they get why they're doing that. Hope they learn the lessons from the others as well, and I hope that there's a push for the demilitarisation of space, because if you've got military superiority in space, that will also mean they'll also mean that on land as well. So I also worry about what that will mean in terms of that competitive militarization between the superpowers.
And the headline-grabbing release yesterday by the National Party suggesting that people are going to get 50, maybe 100 bucks in their pocket each week, more than they've got at the moment, is that headline-grabbing. And now there are questions being asked about how they intend funding that. We've already touched on the fact that they were looking at climate emissions as one source of putea to back up their tax cut policies. But at this stage of an election cycle, we seem to get promised all manner of things. Is what they are suggesting doable, or do you think it's got some holes in it?
Well, they've got massive holes. They're going to cut transport options for low-income and no-income people, things that we know which will be good for the environment because it takes cars off the road and supports poorer farmers, so that's not cool. And as I said earlier, they're going to raid the climate coffers. So we're going to end up paying for that in other ways by having a wrecked environment. So they're environmentally reckless, they're climate reckless, their tax package as well, and I hope people can see through that.
Well, let's hope too. Hey, all the best on the hustings. Is that you? You're out with your hammer and spade and putting up hoardings. What's it mean for you?
Oh, yeah, I'll be out there. I need the vitamin D, mate. I've been stuck inside this parliament for too long. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to going out there and, shaking some hands and putting up some signs.
Sounds good. All the best on the hustings, man. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, I mean,
thank you. Tano Tuiono joining us on today's program. You were six.